Hey guys, just want to let you know all merch is restocked. We've got the night pants, we got the Night Pants Nation joggers, hoodies, tees, night shorts, all of it is back in stock. Head over to the Honeydew merch store and get your Honeydew gear today. Hey guys, just want to tell you the Night Pants Nation tour kicks off next month. I can't tell you how excited I am to get out there. This is more a gratitude tour than anything, honestly. I've sat here for the last year and a half in this room and we built a fucking army and I'm coming out to see y'all. I can't thank you enough for your support. So let's have some fun together. Here are the dates. September 16th through 18th, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. September 30th to October 2nd, Indianapolis, Indiana. October 23rd, Baltimore, Maryland. October 28th, Brea, California. November 12th through the 13th, Arlington, Virginia. December 9th through the 11th, Cleveland, Ohio. December 17th through the 20th, La Jolla, California. January 6th to the 8th, Austin, Texas. January 20th to the 22nd, Kansas City, Missouri. February 17th to the 19th, we're in Vancouver. March 17th to the 19th, Edmonton. All right. And there are a bunch of dates I'm jumping out to do with Tom Segura as well. Go to RyanSickler.com, click on that Night Pants Nation tour info and get your tickets. This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by ExpressVPN, Freshly, and Sheath. More on that later. Let's get into the do.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pants Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com. You heard the announcement. Go to RyanSickler.com. Get your Night Pants Nation tour tickets today. I mean, Tom's coming everywhere. I'm coming everywhere behind him. You know what I'm saying? And I will be doing some dates with Tom. So come out and see us. Come out and see me. Let's have some fun. I can't thank y'all enough. TheHoneydewPodcast.com is the website for the show. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel. You guys, we have a growing army over there right now, all right? We're over 113,000, I think, now. You watch and you like it, it's free. Hit subscribe. It means nothing to you and everything to me, okay? Patreon, another community that continues to grow and blow me away with stories, okay? If you or someone you know has that story that has to be heard, please submit it to HoneydewPodcast@gmail.com. We'll vet it. Hopefully, we'll get to do an episode together. It's $5 a month, okay? And if you sign up for your year, you get over a month free, and you are getting the Honeydew a day early, ad-free, at no additional charge, all right? Ringtones. We're working on the Android now. We're going to be able to try to put it on the direct website, and you'll be able to buy from there. But for those of you who do have Apple, they're available in the iTunes store. There's three or four of them, I think, and I love hearing that you guys are buying the shit out of them. I can't get over it. So go there. Some of you had trouble finding them. If you go to the iTunes store, you just search my name, scroll down, click on ringtones. They're right there, okay? Honeydew athletes, we got four in the stable right now, all right? We got four in the stable. First guy here, Marcus Everett. This dude is a bow fisherman. He's a beast. This kid here, Caden Wood, D2, pitcher for Seton Hill, went to the College World Series. All right, Beck Adler, so my boy, you might have seen him on the Honeydew with y'all. Also, Gary Adler's son, kid's a killer big wave surfer. And then we got Maverick Reed, professional cowboy over here. He's a bull rider, y'all. So those are our athletes right now. We're adding to our little stable. I did get some D1 requests, so let me look at them. If you're a walk-on, then hell yeah. All right, hell yeah. If you got a full ride, hell no. Hell no. All right, y'all. You know what we do over here? We highlight the lowlights. These are the stories behind the storytellers. You know, it's easy to show your highlights in life on your little social media and stuff. It's not so easy to highlight your lowlights. All right? So we're going to sit down today and listen to this storyteller who's got an incredible story. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome for the first time here on The Honeydew, Chris Borey, y'all. Welcome to The Honeydew.
Dude, thanks, brother, for having me, brother.
Thank you for having being here and for having me, I guess. Me at your table.
I wouldn't have had anybody else.
Thank you, bro. It's nice to be here. Before we get into what we're going to talk about today, will you please plug promote everything.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at I am Chris Porter. I have a website, chrisportercomedy.com. It has all my tour dates coming up. I'll be in Toledo, fucking other places. There's a San Jose date that we're holding on to, but let's be honest, probably not going to happen. But yeah, that's chrisportercomedy.com. And that's pretty much, and also I'm on Spotify and Pandora, and I've got four specials on Amazon.
Yeah, that's all. Four specials on Amazon. Yeah. Go watch all of that. All right. So this is like, the story I heard about a little while ago. Yeah. I've known you for a while now in comedy, going back to your long curly hair days.
Yeah.
And, I heard about this tumor or this injury you had, excuse me.
Yeah.
I say tumor because I know it's brain, but I misspoke. And I heard it was golf related. And you and I have never, like, you had full on brain surgery, like the whole deal. Can we talk about, because you said that afterwards you went into a depression that you've never really talked about. And I'd like to talk about what happened. Like, take us to that day.
Okay. So the day of, me and my mom went to play golf. It was a Monday.
Now, how old are you?
I'm 17.
And your mom's golfing with you. So are you like a golf family? Because I know you're still into it. Okay.
Especially that time, like my mom was starting to get into it a lot, and so was I. I think I was 3 years in, 4 years in. So I remember I'd been out at the lake with my buddies all weekend just being
Ozarks?
It was Table Rock.
Okay, but you're from Kansas City.
Well, yeah. So good guess. But went to the Mr. Pibb Lake.
Not the
Dr. Pepper Lake. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I know what you're saying.
So, you know, and we were doing the dumbest shit in the world. We were jumping out of boats, doing 30 miles an hour, just being 17-year-old idiots. And then Monday rolls around. Mom's like, I got free golf. You want to go play golf? I go, fuck yeah. It's second hole. You know, mom was very much about the rules. So while she hit, I stood off the fairway parallel with her. And then this ball just whack. Right about an inch above the temple, and I went down. I can tell you this, the moment I got hit, I had a vision of a ball being hit off a tee. And, I went down, and if I was out at all, it was for a split second. And I get up, and my head fucking hurt.
Are you bleeding?
Bleeding.
Is there a lump there?
I mean, immediately, no. And we're fucking, but it hurt.
And did the person come over?
So the person comes over. Well, first my mom, I had just gotten contacts for the first time. So I'm like rubbing my head and my mom thinks I'm just fucking with my contacts. She goes, what's wrong? And
I
go,
she
didn't see it. I got hit. And so she comes screaming over and this old man comes around. It's a dog leg. He didn't see me and he should have been trying to hit around my mom in the first place, but you know, old white men. So he comes around. I rolled that woman's car and I've still never seen her yell at a man the way she's, I mean, fuck she yeah. went full gorilla. Just, it wasn't even words. It was just emotion. And this dude was frightened and I thought I was fine.
How old do you think this guy was?
60s, 70s. And like my mom looks at me and she goes, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm fine. And pardon the hole. I was talking all mad shit about that. I was like, look at that, Bob got hit, still parted.
You're not seeing double. Not it's just this throbbing. Point. This is all you're throbbing, getting is pain.
But about five holes deep, shit changes. Headache gets worse. Okay. I start seeing double. I line up to the tee marker instead of my ball. Mom's like, yeah, we're going to get out of here. So we leave and now there's a bump and then all of a sudden the bump's gone and my head hurt. So I go home. Mom's on the phone in the hospital. I'm calling my buddy and he's like, you don't sound right, man. And I'm like, what? I sound fine. He's like, no, you don't.
Really? He could hear it.
Yeah. He was like, you need
to go. Are you like slurring your words or
I don't know. He's like, buddy, you don't sound right. And this was a 17-year-old kid. And I was like, all right. And then it got real bad. Like the headache was just I've never felt pain like it since. And I started seeing double and I was like, yeah, I think we need to go.
Are you vomiting or anything?
Not at this point. As soon as we get to the hospital, we get to triage and they're like, what's wrong? I just threw up all over the desk.
Let's
No wait for that guy.
So. John Doe coming back. We'll get his info later.
We got a hot one. So, so just FYI, if you want to get through the line, just fire one out. So, I get back there, they run CAT scan. They're like, okay, there's a blood. What has happened is the blood is, it cracked your skull. The blood is seeped back through the crack. It is now clotting between your brain and your skull.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah.
So that's why the headache is so much worse now. And, so, doctor comes in. I got real lucky that the number one neurosurgeon in Kansas City happened to be on call that night. And this dude walks in, and this dude was fucking Iceman. Just cool. Comes in. He's like, this is what we need to do. I need to cut open your head. We just need to go in there and get the brain thing out, and then you'll be good as new. And I was like, but he said it. So he didn't come in like ER, like we gotta get this girl, blah, blah, blah. He was just like, this is what has to happen. So he said it so low key. I was just like, so, well, anyway, football starts in 2 weeks, and I started my junior year, so I had a starting spot guaranteed. I'm like, I'm not
what position
split in.
Okay.
Cause we ran an offense from fucking 1947.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of option. So
you'd be a Pro Bowler every year if you were split end in the NFL, the only motherfucker.
So, I go, hey man, football starts in 2 weeks and let's just do it at the end of the season. And he's like, no, buddy, you don't understand. If you don't do this tonight, you won't be here tomorrow.
Tonight.
And I go,
you're not even getting a week to prepare. No, you're going in that night.
He's like, if you don't do this tonight, you won't be here tomorrow. And I'm out of it at this point. Tomorrow. I go, of course I won't be here tomorrow. I'm going to leave. Why would I stay here? And he's like, and he puts his head, and he's like, buddy, here's what's going to happen. The blood will continue to clot around your brain and you will die one of the most horrifyingly painful deaths that anyone's ever died ever.
And he then said, the doctor said pretty, that.
That was the gist of it, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And he goes, and I go, well, then why are we even quite, why'd you even give me the option? And he was like, yeah, we need to get in there and do this. So went in there, did it. I was in intensive care for 2 days.
All right, wait, how long did the surgery take?
I mean, I would say I went in the afternoon.
I mean, he's basically what now? He's resealing the, he's repairing your skull.
They basically took a hole saw. Drilled out.
So we did over here in the corners to have cable run through. For real.
Took a hole saw.
Holy shit.
Fucking drilled out. It's this side. Took out a piece of my skull. Took out the clot. Put the piece of skull back in. And then put three wires in that. And then they fuse to the bone as the bone begins to fuse to itself.
And then that, it all heals itself.
It all heals itself. And I told the story on another podcast, but one of the wires was a little loose, and it would make a clicking sound. Nah. Swear to God. And
what do you mean?
Like, just, like,
you'd be walking and you hear it clicking.
Swear to God. Well, no,
I could
do it. Like, it wouldn't do it on its own, but it was like a nervous tick. Like, I'd just click it, right?
So, listen, I know you're nervous, man. I could hear your head clicking.
Yeah. Dude, during a test. Yeah. In high school, the next year, I'm sitting here, I'm clicking away, not that anyone can hear it, and the girl next to me goes, can anyone else hear this fucking clicking sound? I was like, oh, okay.
I'm sorry, it's my skull.
Sorry, it's my wires. It's my skull.
got a
little slack.
That's ridiculous.
So,
she's mad.
So, I remember I went back to get my stitches out.
Right, wait, so hold on. You're in for quite a while.
I'm in intensive care for 2 days.
Do you remember coming out of this surgery?
I do remember coming out of it.
What do you remember? Because I had knee surgery, and I remember coming out of it, not being – I remember they were talking about my teeth, like, oh, you have nice teeth in it. Nothing.
Yeah, no.
And then I woke up, and I remember, like, trying to put the pieces together.
In my head, it really went from we need to have – like, the story I just told you – like, and then it's like this weird, now, like, star wipe to it's 4 a.m.
For you.
For me.
But what is your mom a mess?
The whole family shows up. Apparently, everybody, you know, a lot of people are crying. People are freaking out.
How about the old dude?
Nowhere to be found. Like, because again,
got your mom scared.
He's at the bar having beers going, I fucking hit this kid. It was crazy.
I might have killed a kid. Give me a double. You're a minor too.
Yeah.
You're a minor.
So I wake up at about, all I know is that the clock on the wall says 4 something. And my old man is fucking reading a paper.
He's sitting there.
And I go, I was just like, is it? So I get choked up when I remember that. And I was like, yo, what's up? And he's like, what's up? I go, what? I go, is it 4 a.m. or 4 p.m.? He goes, a.m. I go, what the fuck are you doing here? And he goes, I'm making sure you're all right.
I'm your dad.
I'm your dad.
Yeah, you just went through skull surgery.
So, 2 days. So this is all 2 weeks before high school starts.
So can I ask you a question? Because I keep saying, is it considered brain surgery? To me it is.
Yeah, I think once they crack the skull
anything
open,
on the head to me is brain surgery.
At least
I got stitches and I brain just tell everybody it was brain surgery. You know?
Brain adjacent?
Brain adjacent.
So 2 days in intensive care, you know, everyone shows up, you know, then 2 days in a regular hospital, everyone shows up and visits, all your friends
and
come.
And is your head like swollen, it's in like crazy?
It's just in a big turban.
Okay.
And then they come in day four and take all the bandages off and they're like, give me like a piece of underwear to wear over my head.
So 2 days ICU, 2 days regular hospital, and then you're out?
Then I'm out. And I'm
Fucking head just got a hole cut in it, and 4 days later, back into the wild?
Not like out, like go have fun, see it Best Buy.
Oh, yeah, but I mean but out like, of that building. Yeah.
They're like, get the fuck out of here. Not much more we can do. And so then it was like 2 weeks of like bed rest and not being able to do anything and being on a shit ton of drugs.
And are you in crazy pain? Yeah.
No, I don't remember a lot of pain being involved. I don't. There might have been. I just don't remember that part of it. And then, you know, and then high school starts. And I went to a rural high school.
And you're a senior that year?
I'm a senior that year. So football's gone. They told me, they're like,
your split ends job.
They're like, you're
somebody
done.
Somebody else got the
and
split
ends. So I tried to be like a manager for like 2 weeks. I was like, this sucks.
Yeah, no.
This sucked. Cause I couldn't really hang out with the players. And then you couldn't, and the coaches, when they wanted to talk, they didn't want you around. So I was just like, fuck this. So, I'd say.
When you start school, do you still have a head wrap or anything?
I got a head
like
wrap.
That?
I don't have stitches anymore, but there's a pretty man. I was the only kid in high school that was able to wear a hat.
Okay. So that you wear a hat over.
Cause I went to, again, it was 1996. So it was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was.
And they wouldn't let you, we weren't allowed to wear hats at school. And so.
Yeah, we couldn't either. We couldn't in our high school.
So they were like, yeah, you can wear a hat because no one wants to fucking stare at that all day.
Not for you.
Literally for all of us.
So we don't have to look at that shit.
Your fucking Frankenstein face. Because you have to realize this shit went from here to here.
Yeah, can I see it?
You can.
So they cut you from there to there.
From here all the way to here.
And then what? Did they peel
it
back?
They pull your face down. Yeah.
That's fucking nuts.
My buddy came
in. Did they do pictures of it? Do you have any pictures of it?
I have pictures. Well, I have the picture I posted on Instagram of me with the stitches.
Yeah.
And that's
what made me say, okay, I got it. He's got to come tell this shit.
Yeah. So that happens. And then.
How long are you in this headdress?
I don't know. I would say a
dressing,
month.
I should
a
say.
Month or two.
Damn, really?
Yeah, just because, I mean, it was a pretty heavy gash. So
and can
just,
you sleep at night comfortably?
Yeah, or? I was on so many drugs. I was sleeping during the day, sleeping at night.
How were your grades during then? Just shit?
No, they were so. I only had to do half a year that year because my parents thought I was moving. My parents thought we were moving to New York. So I accelerated my high school program. So like my junior year, I took like senior classes so I could graduate a little bit early and we never ended up moving. But so my senior year, I came in like I got half a year and I'm fucking just walking. So I did that. I had already done my senior paper my junior year, so I was like, fucking, this is going to be a cakewalk, and it was. And I was out, I think I was out my senior year by like 11:30. And so that was fun. And then once the depression really started to kick in about 7 months in, and I moved, and it was when I left home to go to KU, and you know, I was in this place, like it was really starting. I just thought I was 18 and going through it. And also, like, we came up in that Kurt Cobain era.
We did.
And so, like, Kurt's when he killed himself, like I had a buddy kill himself like a year later, and you know, and he idolized that dude. And all his high school girlfriend broke up with him.
Right.
And he goes and fucks and offs himself.
That's why?
Yeah, man. And it fucking.
Yeah.
That doesn't have, he doesn't have that idea if Kurt doesn't, and not, Kurt had serious demons and probably had every reason in his brain to do what he did, but there were repercussions to his actions.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people in our generation. And so, and I saw that. And so when I went through this heavy depression, and you do wake up every day.
What's going on? What do you notice first? When do you realize, man, this is different?
I don't.
Things are different.
I would wake up and say, fuck.
That's the first feel, dread.
I
just,
like, fuck, man. Like, I woke up.
Is it because you, oh, I woke up, not fuck another day of this shit?
No, I was like, fuck, I woke up.
Oh, you really wanted to die.
Yeah, but I didn't know why. Like, right. Life was good. Like, I have a great family.
Well, the drugs, I'm sure, were part of it.
I mean, I'm off the drugs by
no,
this
I mean,
point.
The prescription. That yeah. Shit fucks with you for sure. But also, you lost your football that year.
Yeah.
You lost your senior year of high school. You're losing. Like a lot of these kids now with COVID, their senior year is gone.
Yeah.
So that's tough. And then not, I get it, man. Trying to stay around the guys and be the manager on the football team. I'm like, fuck this.
Yeah. And then like.
Yeah, that to me would really fuck with me.
So I would start to like, you know, obviously I hadn't found comedy yet. I mean, I'm 6 months from finding comedy at this point. But like, I've always been into music. So I start writing songs. I'm just trying to find a way to like get out of it. But all my high school, like I grew up with a bunch of jocks in the country and there, it was all machismo. And like, I was like the black sheep that had feelings and fucking, you know, like listen to like good music and cause like I felt it, you know?
Yeah.
And so I remember I wrote this song called I Hate Myself, and which like in the '90s, there were a lot of songs that were very close to basically that same thing. So yeah. I wasn't really going out on a limb, but I was like, hey, you guys, I wrote this song and I sang it for them. And they're like, you fucking hate yourself? Like, what the fuck's wrong? Like, it was that, like,
yeah.
Like your trainer. It was like David Goggins being like, you fucking hate yourself?
Yeah.
You got to get your inner bitch.
And I wrote one in seventh grade about my mom called Cloven Hoof Bitch.
That's true, dude.
Yeah.
And the lunch lady read it. She goes, can I see that? She handed it to me. She goes, okay. And handed it back to me.
Dude, in my high school, my college roommate was super like fucking really bad bipolar. And so like I'd tell him about it. He's like, yeah, no, I feel the same way. And I'm just like, well, this isn't helping.
You're not the guy I wanted to go.
No, you're snug. No, you're just, we're starting to outline our letters. No, this isn't good. And so like there were dark nights and you know, There was one night in particular, you search the house for a way to do it. And
what would you have done?
Oh, I would have used a shotgun.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And it got to a point where I knew the gun and I just didn't have the ammunition.
Did you talk to your parents about this at all?
Not till years after.
Years?
Yeah.
So you just suffered internally and did you go to therapy? No therapy? And they didn't send it to you to therapy after brain surgery or anything like that?
No. And as a matter of fact, I didn't find out that the depression was related to the brain surgery till years later when I was talking to a neurosurgeon at a bar.
Really?
And I was like, oh, and I told him the story. He's like, do you go through a big depression after that? And I go.
He just asked on his own?
Yeah. And I go, yeah, but I was 18 and in college, my first year, who doesn't? He's like, nah, man, that was major brain trauma will fuck you up.
I'll bet.
And so, you know, and I didn't have any answers and I knew in my mind that I had no reason to do it. Like life was great. You know, a lot of comics, you know, their crux comes from like a bad relationship with their parents or whatever their internal struggle is. My internal struggle has always just been a lack of confidence that is ingrained in me. Like
from where? Where does that come from?
I don't know, but it's not from my family because my family is very supportive and loving. And
your mom was out there driving the shit out of like, all that day.
But like me and my mom and dad talk every fucking day.
That's
so,
great.
You know, like my family is amazing. And so it's just always been, and I see it a lot on some of my dad's side of the family and they all are medicated.
Josh Wolf and I talk about this all the time. I have, what is, how do we say this all the time? I say it all the time and I got this brain fog, but it's like, I wish my self-confidence matched my belief in myself. You know what I'm saying? Because you're obviously a doer. You're out there getting it done. You're successful. Like, I believe I can do something. I believe in myself. But my self-confidence about my appearance, who I am, talking, all that, that is always lacked. Yeah. It's always lacked, which is why I try to be funny to make up for it. Somebody the other day, this shit made me laugh. I don't know who you are, but I want you to know I saw it and I laughed my ass off. But they said, if an afternoon nap had a face, it would be Ryan Sickler. Is that not the greatest? If an afternoon nap had a face, it would be Ryan Sickler's face.
And it's fucking nailed. You nailed it.
They're in the comic we work with that could do better than that.
Dude, I'll tell you
nailed it.
I'll tell you what.
I'm proud of that.
I'll not be able to take an afternoon nap anymore without thinking of your dumb face.
When you're sleeping, my face will just be floating above you.
Fucking, yeah, man. And I knew that going – so, like, self-confidence has always been an issue. And I think that maybe is a lot of the reason I am such a doer. And I am is because I already don't think I'm great. So if I don't do things to like let other
people. I'm worse. Yeah.
It does not help the situation at all. So I knew that. So I just thought maybe it being at 18, I had the self-awareness to be like, you know, you're kind of a bitch anyway. Inside, like you have a major.
Good for you. Yeah.
Like you have a major inner bitch and like you wear it well. I didn't wear it well at fucking 17. I wear it much better now.
Don't you wish you could look back now and be like, listen, motherfucker, you just survived a traumatic brain injury.
Yeah.
Like you could have died.
But even today, like I've done a lot of shit that a lot of comics haven't been able to do through whether it's because of my talent or because of luck or whatever it is. But even last night, I did a show at the Improv and the girl in front of me did well. And I was immediately like, I'm going to eat shit. I'm going to eat a giant dick up there. And that happens every time.
And you've been doing comedy how long?
22 fucking
years. Yeah, for people that want to hear, that's right, 22 years.
Every time I write a new joke, I'm like, that's not funny. That's not funny enough. And then I go up on stage, I was like, well, I guess I was wrong.
But also that's what makes you good, you know. You don't go to your first thought. Our job isn't to write our first thought. Our job is to dive way deeper than that and still somehow take something that you've heard talked about before in a way or style that hasn't been done.
Yeah. And I think that's only
relatable.
And that only happens if you are your true self about that.
It's taken me. I mean, I once read Richard Pryor say like, I don't know, it was 10 or 15 years to find your real self on stage. And that's when I read that, I was like, good God. But man, podcasting has changed my stand up, my everything. You know, once you start talking about your real life shit, it's like, are you talking about that on stage? Well, you should.
Yeah.
You know,
you're so, like, well, fuck yeah.
That has helped me become myself more than anything. I don't know if I stayed with just stand up, if I would have got to my true self as quick as I have through the addition of podcasting.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
100%. What's weird is stand up ended up saving me.
That's what I was going to get at, because you mentioned 6 months after the depression, you find stand up. So how does that happen?
So I found like a creative outlet that, look, I was 19. I wasn't still not the smoothest guy with the ladies. I mean, I was a professional comic before I wasn't a virgin.
Wait, what?
I had been paid to do comedy.
Before you lost your virginity?
Before I lost my virginity. It wasn't much. It was like $50, but I mean that gives you a timeline as like my life. Like high school was not the only reason I was cool in high school was because I played sports and I was decent at them. And I don't know if that's why I still fucking work out and play sports all the time. It probably is. But the only reason I didn't get my ass whooped in high school was because I had so much protection. Just the older jocks would. I remember walking into high school football games or like away basketball games and like the seniors coming up and be like, hey, if anyone fucks with you, you just let us know.
All right.
Yeah. But even then, I had zero confidence.
Right.
You'd think I'd be like, what up? Fuck you. Yeah. I got carte blanche, but I was still like, no, I'm still. So, yeah, I just, I forgot where I was going with this. It's just, I've never really talked about a lot of this, so it's weird.
You were talking about how you first found comedy.
Yeah.
And so, how it saved you.
So my buddy calls and he goes, I'm going to do stand-up comedy.
Is this in Kansas
City? It's in Kansas City. And this dude was like the dude, he just watched movies and he'd want to be that movie. And he was just crazy enough to do that shit. Like Swingers came out, had suits, also knew how to ballroom dance. Fucking everybody was money. So he saw the punchline or something like that. And it was 97. He fucking pulls out a phone book and opens up to comedy clubs. There's one. And he calls him up. He goes, I want to be a stand-up comic. How do I do it? And they fucking told him. And so I show up and I watch him do open mic night. And
how old are you now?
I'm 19. Cause it was the summer of 98 and I watched him do it. And I just happenstance. They sat me front row center. So I had like the view and I watched 24 comics go up.
Damn.
Yeah.
Remember those days?
Remember those days? 3 minutes apiece.
Yeah. Holy shit.
And a host in between that would do way too much time.
Yeah, for no reason.
For no reason. Just riffing on whatever shitty joke you just heard. So, I just remember going, I'm funnier than half these people. And my mom had all, I come from a line of musicians. And so, and at that time, their success was nominal. Now, my uncle's had a great band and made very good money. But at that time, my mom always warned me, you don't want to be a musician. It's a hard road and very few people get in. And I was like, well, this is comedy. I don't have to get a band together. It's just me. It was the greatest. The moment I stepped on stage and got that first laugh, it was the greatest thing ever.
Physically healed?
I'm physically healed at that
fully.
Point.
What did you have? Staples out here?
Stitches. Stitches.
And they're removed?
They're removed, and my hair isn't quite as receded at the time, so a lot of hair is covering it by this point.
And you feel all right? You're comfortable about getting up in front of people with that, too? I mean,
yeah, you couldn't see it. Couldn't see it at that point. I mean, it's very visible now, but this was 22 years and probably about an inch of hairline ago. So,
and that just was the greatest feeling in the world.
It was. And also when you're
especially coming out of that to be just to receive that.
Yeah. And just to have that, but that rush and
that's
that energy.
Heroin, man. That's it.
And it was like, this is the, and it was before sex, it was the greatest thing that had ever occurred to me. And even when it was, and then I went up the next time and fucking bombed.
Yeah.
But even in the moment of bombing, I was like, this is still amazing and I have to do this. And I was, man, when you get a chance to scream into a microphone for 3 minutes every once in a while, you stop being as depressed as you were.
I'll bet.
And also you just.
Do you remember what you were talking about then? Did you do any stuff?
Being a virgin.
Okay. Did you do anything about your.
No, I still have not been able to make that.
Really? You still don't do anything on it?
I still have not been able to, I've tried a couple of times to ride it out and it's just, I don't know. I
think you just need to share it as a story and find spots in the story to bring humor.
Maybe that's it. I don't, maybe I've become, over the years, I have become more of a storytelling comic. So maybe it's time to maybe revisit it.
I mean, it's the time I almost died.
Yeah.
It is.
But,
Doctor's over here eating a sandwich. He's like, listen, you got to get this shit done in 30 minutes.
But I would like to say this. It's the greatest thing to have ever happened to me.
That's really
because
that's great to hear that you have that outlook on it. Why? Because it put you into comedy.
Put me into comedy. I was going into the Navy.
I
was already talking to recruiters. I was going into ROTC.
Yeah, me too.
I still have my letters of recommendation, all that shit, and it was set. I was going to go to college, go to officer school, or go to boot camp, go to officer school, be in the Navy for 5 years, and then fucking walk out with some degree. And then the sky was the limit at that point. And it was set. And then some of the depression may come from having a plan and then that plan just being ripped away from you.
Sure.
Yeah,
you had this whole thing set
up. But also, I would have left officer school May of 2001. So just in time for, granted, I would have been in the Navy. I would have been fucking on a boat watching it happen, but still, I would have gone straight to, straight to war.
Yeah, you would have.
And, instead I went and had sex with a bunch of girls I would never have had sex with had I not been funny.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our first sponsor, ExpressVPN. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like driving without car insurance. Why take that risk? Why does everyone need a VPN? Because every time you connect to an unencrypted network, like in cafes, hotels, or airports, any hacker on the same network can gain access to your personal data, your passwords, your financial details, all that stuff. And it doesn't take much technical knowledge to hack someone, just some cheap hardware. A smart 12-year-old could do it. Your data is valuable. Hackers can make up to $1,000 a person selling personal info on the dark web. Here's why you need to use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN acts as an online insurance. It creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. Hackers cannot steal your personal data. It is super secure. It would take a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. And it's super simple. You just fire up the app. You click one button to get protected. It works on all your devices, your phones, your laptops, your tablets, and more, so you can stay secure on the go. We use it here at the studio. I use it at home. We're not leaving our stuff exposed, all right? Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/honeydew. That's expressvpn.com/honeydew. And you can get an extra 3 months for free. expressvpn.com/honeydew. Our next sponsor is Freshly. Now, dinner time can be chaotic, but with Freshly, it's easy. Their chefs take care of your meals a few nights a week and take the pressure off of you. Freshly offers chef-made, nutrient-packed, delicious meals delivered fresh to your door. There's no cooking required. That's what I'm talking about. Grocery shopping and cooking can be a pain, especially right now. And with Freshly, you don't have to. Your meals arrive cooked and fresh every week, so you can keep your fridge stocked and skip the trip to the store. Ordering is easy. Visit Freshly.com and choose from over 30 delicious, satisfying, better-for-you meals like the steak peppercorn, the sausage baked penne, or their chicken pesto bowl. Look, I love the chicken pesto bowl. I love the sausage baked penne and the steak peppercorn. They're great. They're a better option than when I come home late, whatever we're doing here at the studio or shows. I don't grab fast food. I get my Freshly, all right? And Freshly can fit your lifestyle with a variety of plans and meals to pick from that work for your dietary needs, your preferences, your taste, and your family size. And now my listeners can try Freshly for just $6.16 a meal. That's cheaper than fast food. Stop searching the internet for healthy food near me every night and start living life Freshly. Your meals are always delivered fresh, never frozen, and they're ready to heat and enjoy in just 3 minutes. With new meals added each week, Freshly brings the convenience of chef-made, nutritionist-designed classics right to your kitchen. That's Freshly.com/honeydew for $40 off your first two orders, all right? Right now, Freshly is offering my listeners $40 off your first two orders when you go to Freshly.com/honeydew. Stop stressing about dinner. Go to Freshly.com/honeydew for $40 off your first two orders. That's Freshly.com/honeydew. Our next sponsor is Sheath. Now, Sheath are boxers that are designed to keep your balls off your legs, y'all. Sheath has three individual compartments, all right? You can figure out what they're for, to keep everything down there separate and cool and comfortable, all right? Traditional boxer briefs are barbaric. They're invented during the Neanderthal era, and Sheath has a modern ergonomic design intended to prevent that skin-on-skin contact for long durations, which you all know can build up heat and sweat. All right, Sheath prevents all that. It's the holy grail of underwear. There's an inverted kangaroo pouch for your joey to keep from sticking to your thigh. All right, you will chafe and readjust less because everything is in a separate compartment, because everything is separate. And there's less smell too, all right? They were invented by a U.S. Army soldier who came up with the idea for Sheath during his second tour in Iraq, where it was hot as hell and his boys needed to breathe, all right? He invented these underwear to keep your boys cool and comfortable, okay? Dude's a hero. He's like, I don't know, he's like the Elon Musk of ball bags, I guess, all right? Because Sheath underwear are what you need in your life if you want to be a modern man, all right? Now, here we go. Listen up. Here's what you got to do. Go to sheathunderwear.com/honeydew for 20% off your order today. I'm going to spell it for you. That's S-H-E-A-T-H sheathunderwear.com/honeydew and make sure to use the promo code honeydew at checkout. That's sheathunderwear.com/honeydew for 20% off and do the right thing by your balls, guys. They'll thank you. All right. 20% off sheathunderwear.com. Now let's get back to the dew.
And so
did your parents come see you at all?
As what?
As a comedian when you started out?
When I first started, the first time I did it, I won the contest. Okay. And the contest was that you got to open or you got to do a guest spot on that Sunday.
And who's the headliner?
The Amazing Wid or the Incredible Wid.
I don't know that.
So he was one of my favorites. He was always on. He was a prop comic that was always on Make Me Laugh when okay. Comedy Central was like a baby.
Okay.
And he was just fucking devastating. And so to like show up and like immediately be opening for like one of your favorites in front. But then you realize immediately the reason they have you do the Sunday show is because you're going to bring the audience. Because
they're all coming to see you.
It's a Sunday show. Yeah. So they think if we put them up here, then he'll, and I did. I brought like eight of my, cause it was Father's Day.
Oh man.
So I'm at Father's Day like, yeah, I want a contest. I'm super fucking funny. You all know it. And I'm confident around my family. And, and so my aunts and uncles come out.
Is your dad there on Father's Day?
I'm sure he was. I don't remember. Maybe not. I remember there being a lot of people there and just me eating a giant dick in front of like aunts and uncles. And they never came back. They didn't come back for years.
Years.
Years. They don't, cause they have, cause
you get one shot.
You get one shot. Cause, and also that was like the non-artistic side of the, that was the very athletic side of the family. So they just show up and like, oh, well, that's as good as you are. You'll never be better.
You're peaking right now. You're peaking.
Your second time up. They never took that
never
into consideration.
Coming to you again. You do. You get one chance. Oh shit.
So comedy pulls you out of this depression. And how are things at home? Like, does your mom? Like, who were you closest to throughout that? At least your mom.
My like, dad.
Your dad.
My mom and I always. My mom and I, my mom, again, is one of my best friends, but she was always very much concerned with me being the best person I can be rather than us being friends.
All right.
And
so a mom.
That led to us being the best of friends when I got old enough to recognize that. But so like my dad was always the guy we'd have beers and I'd fucking tell him what was up. And, you know, comedy for the first year was just a hobby. Like, I only did it on Mondays. And so still went to school. Everything was great. And then after the first 6 months, 7 months where I start getting like weekends and stuff like that. And it starts becoming a little more serious. And now I'm like, you know, there was definitely a period. I was a house MC at Stanford's. I'd go to college from 7 to 11 in the morning, go straight from college to work at the mall from 11 to 6.
What store at the mall?
I was security for the entire mall.
You were secure. You were mall security?
Dude,
for the whole mall?
I was at the Rich Mall, so we just drove BMWs around a fucking parking lot.
Oh, you didn't even have a golf cart? You
didn't have a BMW? I was driving an X5. Swear to God. Yeah. And so I would just park that bitch in the parking lot.
What's the craziest shit you see go down to our mall security?
So this poor bastard, they had just had a credit card fraud seminar the night before.
Okay.
Right? The police department came in and said, here's how you find credit card fraud. Well, this motherfucker walks in that morning and is like, throws down this fake ass credit card to the point where like the guest attendant kind of thought it was a test. Like they're so they call security and it's like, it's the mall just opened. I'm still eating breakfast. Like I would just sit there and I'd eat my omelet because there wasn't shit to do. Yeah, it's just mall walkers and shit. Next time I get a call, they're like, we have possible credit card fraud at the guest store. And so we post up outside.
Post
up outside. And just wait for him to walk out. Now, you have to realize that I am, again, the black sheep. I'm just working this gig because it's easy and all my friends who want to be cops work there. I don't want to bust anybody. I just want to go back to my car and fucking continue to write jokes. So this guy comes out And we're like, hey, you need to stop. And this motherfucker takes off running. And it was like, when, and I'm the cop that's like, shit. Like, so we take off running. We're bolting through a Dillard's. This dude takes out a woman. Like, to the point, like, we were going to tackle him, but we were afraid we were going to hurt her.
Yeah.
He picks the one day it snows. So we chase him outside. We all tackle him.
How many of you guys?
There were three of us.
Three of you pounce
and
on this guy?
We fight him. And I'm just like, I'm not – we're getting $8 an hour.
Yeah, man. I ain't fighting anybody.
I'm not fighting any. Like, literally, the other two dudes went down. I was like, I'll cover, make sure no one else. But yeah, that was some of, that was like the craziest moment where I was like, what the fuck is going on? And, but yeah, so I worked mall security from 11 to 7 and then would go, and I remember, or 11 to 6, go home, eat dinner, watch Law and Order, and then fucking go do the shows.
And what, at Stanford's?
At Stanford's in Westport.
And that was the only club at the time in KC?
At the time, yeah. And I was the house, so it was every week.
You're
the house?
Okay, good. All right. Yeah. So you're really getting up a lot.
I'm really getting up a lot. And so then I start getting – so then I start doing like feature weeks and stuff like that. And then it just kind of got to a point where I was like, I can go to college anytime, but this comedy shit's really taken off and I need to take advantage of it. And there, it, hell broke loose. Like, mom cried. Fucking, there was a lot of screaming.
They
were not supportive.
Oh, really?
No, not at all.
Screaming, you said.
Screaming.
Why?
Screaming. Just because.
Did they want you to go in the Navy or they wanted you to do anything
but
comedy?
The Navy was out.
Sounds like you have good parents.
They were just like, but they were like, you can also do comedy at any time. I'm like, No.
No.
You got to take advantage of this shit when you're young because you never know. And who knows what happens if I go to college, I meet some chick, I get her pregnant. Now, I need to focus on this. College will always be there. And they're like, we fought it. And it wasn't.
Who fought more, mom or dad?
Mom.
Screaming. Screaming.
Yeah.
What did she really want you to do?
Go to college. Just have a degree in my pocket so that I had something to fall back on.
Okay.
To her credit, even as successful as I've been in my career, there have definitely been moments where I wish I had done that.
You do?
Yeah, because there were just moments, especially in like 2011 and shit, like when career wasn't going so well, like right after Last Comic Standing, and there I was like just like in the middle of this weird career desert where it was like – and I just had enough. Like the road wasn't – so I had the Last Comic Standing thing, which led to another huge depression. Because as you grow up to be – as you come up as a stand-up comic and you're fighting and your head's down and you're in the trenches of being a feature act on the road, all you're thinking is as soon as I get money, I will be happy because I have everything else. And then I got money and I was still a miserable piece of shit. And I still had no confidence. And that led to like, well, what the fuck now? Like I basically achieved most of my goals at 27 and I still don't think I'm worth a shit. And so in the middle of all of that, there was definitely a time where I was contemplating walking away from everything.
You were?
Yeah. And just
and going, doing what? What would you have done?
That was the thing. I went to type up a resume. I had no employable skills.
The last
job I had, I was 19.
Mall security.
Yeah.
That's
and
you,
like,
have to go
and you
do
try
that.
To dress up being a stand-up comic as being an employable skill. Like, I can handle crowds.
Yeah.
Like, they see is some guy that drank for fucking 12 hours a day and then worked for an hour. So I just – and I remember – I come from a very heavily Catholic family.
Same.
And, we're at a family function. Father, our family priest showed up and he's a great guy. And someone asked him a question and he had a great, like, story to tell that, like, was kind of a parable. And I was like, I need to fucking sit down with this dude. And I go, Father Don, can I buy you a beer? And we just kind of sit and talk one time. He's like, you're speaking my language. And it was so uninspiring. Like, we go and have beer and I was like, I go, listen, I've been a comic for this many years. It went well and now it's not going so well. And I'm not going to find a wife this way and blah, blah, blah. And, he just went, I don't know. You have money in savings? And I was like, a little bit. He's like, yeah, fucking move back. See what happens. And I was just like, that is not. Now I'm definitely not moving back.
Yeah. When Jesus,
I wanted a story. Where's fucking Noah in this shit?
Don't you have something about some footprints?
Well,
or something?
Come on. Isn't there like a successory scene here somewhere?
Did Jesus ever do an open mic? Maybe.
When Jesus was thinking about becoming a feature.
A feature.
So
he's the middler, Jesus.
So there was definitely that moment in where I thought about leaving everything and just moving back to Kansas City, and I don't know. It would have been bad if I'd done it. But then I got to do Ugly and Angry, and that went on, you know, I was like the first generation of specials to get on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And it fucking changed. I mean, that special, more than any, have changed everything. I think it really solidified me as an actual comedian. Cause Last Comic Standing, there have been a lot of great comics on that show.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That show did not make them though. That show's kind of like this, like prop.
Yeah. That it's show almost like showcased you, them. It didn't make them.
Exactly. That's like all. Amy Schumer, that's Eliza, right. Like the biggest ones. That was like a stepping stone to get to the thing that blew them the fuck up.
Yes.
And, you know, the thing about Last Comic Standing is it's a really great run, especially we got in our season, our agents put on our tour. So we made a shit ton of money. And then NBC got wind of how much money we made. And they're like, oh, we're going to make that money.
Oh, is that right?
Dude, the people that were in the seasons behind me, they call and say what they were making. And I felt sorry. Like it was a fifth. Of what we're
a
making.
Fifth.
A fifth.
Yep.
And
I mean, I'm not surprised at all. That's why I'm trying to do all this shit myself now. Trying to do all of it myself.
So yeah. So then Ugly and Angry came around and really started, like, that's when my fans started to generate. That's when these people were coming to see me and knew my jokes.
I got one question for you.
Yeah.
Did those relatives come back at this point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I shot this, because that's why I was like, I'm shooting this special in Kansas City because I'm going to let these motherfuckers know.
Yeah.
And I think that comes back to what you were saying. Like, I know what I deserve, but I, at the same time, I don't think I deserve it. Like that weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is my chance. I'm coming home. And, you know, in my mind, this place was going to be sold out and it was going to be great. In reality, it was a fifth full and we made it look good. But it was definitely – Last Comic Standing solidified everything for me because they had watch parties and shit. So after that, my family was – once you're on TV, they can't argue with you anymore.
No.
Especially in Kansas,
right,
where they think it's all real. And so once I got on TV, you know, mom and dad stopped bitching. And also I rarely needed money. I was always making pretty good money. So they couldn't really bitch about that. But again, yeah. The depression comes and it goes. Like,
still. Now, do you have any kind of CTE or any of that long term? Anything?
I mean, if I do, I'm not aware of it.
Yeah.
Do
you get headaches? Do you have any kind of side effects from it?
Not from that. Like I had a headache.
Nothing.
Nothing.
That's amazing. It really is. I got jumped years ago and they kicked my jaw and broke it, and I have a TMJ from it now. Like it'll click when I open too far.
Oh, yeah.
And anytime, I'm not a big drinker, but if I do have a drink, the next morning, the hangover for me is never in my head. It's all in my fucking jaw.
Really?
And I don't even fuck with it hardly.
Yeah, no, I don't have.
I smoke weed.
Physically, I have no.
Well, one of the reasons. It's one of the reasons.
Oh, no. I think weed is what. I mean, it is my Klonopin or whatever it
did
is.
Did they tell you to use that when you were going through your
No,
shit?
I just, a lot of my relatives are on it.
Yeah.
And they kind of seem to be of the same, especially I have a cousin who's got his shit together. Like, I didn't know he was on it till he told me. And, cause he's straight as an arrow, is an engineer, actually does work for the Navy, and, is like, you know, tried and true, like a Mr. America. And he was like, yeah, I'm on Klonopin. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you had, in your email, you said a cousin, you found out something else about another cousin.
Oh, so I had a cousin.
Is this not the same cousin?
Not the same cousin. This cousin, my other cousin, was like, he and I were best friends. I mean, not that me and the other cousin weren't either, but so I'm like 8 years older than any of my cousins. Like they had me way early. And so my youngest cousin my oldest cousin is still 8 years younger than I am. But we were always very close, even when we were kids growing up, and like, he had like a lawn service, and I'd go home and didn't have shit to do, I'd fucking hop in his truck and go mow yards with him. Like, I just loved hanging out with him. And then shit got weird. Like he would come and get me, and we'd work one day, and then the next he'd like, I'll pick you up at like 10 tomorrow and we'll go work. And he wouldn't show up like at all. And then he'd call at like 4 and be like, oh, sorry, bro. And my dad kept going like, man, I think he's on something. I was like, but Eric's also been weird always. Like,
right. That's when it's tough to tell.
This is the same kid that completely sober pulled his braces off with needle nose pliers because he was tight. Yeah, he's that like.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's that
so
guy.
So you don't know if he's on some shit.
Like, no, he could just. That's Eric, bro. Like, so, and yeah, he had some, like, played rookie ball for the Royals, fucking got his jaw crushed by a 98 mile an hour fastball, and still got up and tried to charge the mound.
Damn, really?
Like, he goes, I got up, and he goes, I could feel my jaw was in two pieces, and I knew something was wrong. And then I spit out like 3 teeth, and I just said, I'll fucking let him go. And, you know, I don't know if that led to where he is now, but, and it was just like, and I'd be like, Dad, fucking, no, he's just weird. Like, of all, and I'm pretty hip, man. Like, I can tell when people are fucked up, and I can usually tell you which drugs they're on. Now, to be fair, I know nothing about meth. I've never been around it. I guess I don't hang out at fucking Walmarts enough or whatever. But it was just, I've seen a lot of drugs, and meth is one of the few drugs that I've never seen in my entire life. And so, he got popped for it. He got popped. He got popped with a bunch of it.
How much is a bunch?
Like enough to where it was an issue.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a federal issue?
Like
federal prison issue?
No, but enough to where he was looking at some time. And
this was post like the baseball and all that stuff.
This is baseball, and he's still got the lawn service, but again, shit's getting weird. And then, you know, my dad's screaming. He's like, dude, he's on something.
And is this your dad's brother or sister's kid?
It's my mom's sister's kid.
Mom's, okay.
And I'm just like, he's just not. I mean, this is a kid that I got high and he fucking freaked out on weed.
Yeah.
So I'm like, there's no way he's getting into up. Like, fucking, that's 0 to 1,000.
Yeah.
I was wrong. And it was just, I mean, it was just the weirdest. Because of like, if I would have bet on the 15 cousins, which ones were going to get addicted to that shit, he would have been fucking 14.
Really?
Yeah. Just because he was – all he ever did was work out and figure out how to get bigger and stronger, and he loved to work out. And when I first started going back to the gym, he like wrote my workouts for me, and like he was just nothing but how do I get healthier and better. And for him to then go, also I'm going to do this shit that rots my face from the inside out.
Teeth.
It just made no sense. And also – he was asleep most of the time. Like, I thought if you were on meth, you're supposed to be out doing shit.
Yeah, heroin's the one you're asleep.
Yeah, no, this guy, he never, you know, it just never made sense to me. And to have, it was just such a kick in the balls to have a guy that you think you know so well. And then also you're like, well, could I have, what else did I miss?
And then when you look back on it, there's nothing you ever really.
There was one time, and again, Eric was weird as fuck, still is. But like, we stopped at a gas station to get gas, and then he was gone for like 45 minutes.
What?
And then, you know, I lost track of time because I think I was on my phone.
So did he, probably.
And I just figured he's dropping one. And it was taking a while. Maybe there's a backup on the poop train. I don't know. But then he just showed up and he just kind of was like, and like didn't really tell me what the fuck was going on. And that was the only time where I was like, okay, this is fucking weird. Like where the fuck were you while I was at? I was literally just parked at a gas pump for 45 minutes.
Just sitting.
In the passenger seat with no keys. Couldn't pull it in. Like,
couldn't go
if
anywhere.
If they would have come out and said, move your fucking truck, I'd been like, I don't, you pop it in neutral and we'll push this bitch. Like, and it was just, so yeah, it was so weird just to be fucking, you know, in such a fucking dark, And to me, it's always been such like a white trash drug. It's like a shitty.
You would think so, but it's not.
No.
But it does. It reeks of white trash because you can make it at home in a fucking soda bottle and shit. You know what I mean? That's what you're seeing.
But also, it's like, I've never been to a party where it was like, fucking Gary's got meth.
Never.
Nor would I hang out at that party at all. Yeah.
That shit you shut up about and you know who does it and that's it. Yeah.
Dude, I get freaked out when I go into like head shops and you go to the shitty ghetto ones and then they have like the meth accessories and you're just like, I get the willies. And so it was just, it was a giant kick in the balls just to fucking, you know, and he's in jail now.
He is.
Yeah. He got popped
from that.
No, excuse me. He's always trying to get the easy way out, trying to one up people. Like I remember I'd meet him at a movie and he'd buy a child's ticket and just see if they'd catch him. And if not, he saved $3. And if like he had no shame.
Right.
And so he's always that kid. And, so he got popped for like online gambling fraud.
He's just taking people's money?
I don't know. I remember back in the day, he'd be like, well, if you can sign up for this site, they give you $500 and you pull out and then you can do this. And it was like that. Nope. I'm like, that already sounds like, first off, I don't need to be gambling.
First off, you lost me when you said sign up.
Yeah. I only gamble
for
when
I'm gambling site. I'm good.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah. No, I'm not leaving my credit card on that site. No. I only gamble in Vegas, and that's rarely.
Yeah.
That's when I get drunk and go put $30 on the Royals to win it all.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, it was. It's just weird.
And so he's in jail now.
He's in jail now. As far as I know,
for how long?
I don't. They're working. It's not for too long. I don't think.
You in touch prior to that?
No, it was. You know, he would disappear and he would come back, and then I remember he was at like Christmas like 2 years ago, and he was just fucking jacked.
He is.
And he had been home and working out, and then. And then he was all very much like, you know, I'm so glad I'm through this. And like, my family's what got me out of it. And then as soon as Christmas was over, boom, gone. And I think what a lot of it is for him especially is just boredom. Like he's never really had a job that he could keep for too long because he likes to run his mouth and also tries to find the easy way around shit. Mm-hmm. And, he's also the guy that bad luck also tends to find him usually. So, but then he gets bored and then he starts fiending and then he leaves and then he's gone for days and days and days, sometimes months. And then they had heard from him like at Thanksgiving, like his mom texted him and he texted back. And then
does anybody know where he goes?
No, not really. And then they got a call from the authorities that he was in Nebraska.
And that's where he's locked up right now?
That's where he's locked up, yeah.
Fuck, I don't want to be locked up out there.
Yeah.
I bet you that prison's cold. I bet you that motherfucker. I've been to Nebraska. You've been there.
And it's just a bunch of corn-eating.
Yeah, man. Those big boys in there, too, will fuck you up. Yeah Nebraska's
not
where
in
I
a
want
fun
it.
Way.
No.
Nah, those are the dudes that, like, they, like, take it from you while they're staring at you.
Yeah, whatever they want.
Yeah.
Kind of guy.
I'm gonna look at
sir.
You while I'm fucking.
Calling everybody
you.
Sir. Yes, sir.
So what are you in for? Cow rape? Oh shit!
All right, I'm gonna shut the fuck up.
Yeah. No, you win. You want my pillow and all my biscuits? Sorry, everything I know about prison I learned from 60 Days In. So
right now with your health and everything going on, there's nothing from the brain surgery.
I mean, not that I'm acutely aware.
What do they tell you? Obviously, you can't play football, but what else?
Well, I think now I could.
Really?
Yeah. I think the brain's healed. I remember I went in for my, you know, you're 17 and you have these Disney dreams of like, oh, you healed magically. And, I walked in and the doctor and I go, so can I play football? And he just laughed. He's like, no, man. He's like, you can play golf. I was like, go fuck yourself. I think I told him to go fuck himself.
For real.
And then, they were gonna clear me to play basketball, but I hadn't played since my eighth grade year just because by the time football was over, my body was needed a break from all that shit. And so, I was like, I'll go play basketball. And I went in and talked to the coach and he was like, look, man, you haven't played for 3 years. He was like, you're going to have to be really fucking good to make the team. And he was like, are you really fucking good? And I was like, no. And he's like, yeah, then fucking enjoy your senior year.
Yeah.
Kind of thanks, but no thanks. And so, yeah, I was out of sports. I might have played golf my senior year.
When, so, I don't remember. Music was always in your family. Wait, I want to ask this real quick. The wires.
Yeah.
Did they have to be taken out?
No, or they're in there and they don't click anymore.
But they're there.
They're there.
Do you have any trouble going through metal detectors or anything like that?
No,
not at all.
I think they may pop up on an X-ray.
On an X-ray.
But that's about it. Yeah. Right. No, I've never had any issue. And, my depression that comes around every once in a while, maybe from that. I don't know. But it also just, like I said, might be just from my inner bitch.
Conquer your inner bitch.
You got to conquer your inner bitch.
What music for you? So you have a musical family?
Yeah. And not like... You know, it's not like the Gaither family where like everyone plays. Like everyone does play.
But you mentioned your uncle made money. Who's your uncle?
So my uncle Norm was in a band called the Elders, and they were a huge, for that scene, Celtic rock band that traveled. They basically played every Irish festival in the country, and they did very well for themselves. And they're in like music hall of fames and places. And
oh wow, all right.
And then
what's he play?
He plays bass.
Okay.
And then my other uncle Jeff was just an incredibly talented man that just never took a risk and left town and tried to be the next thing. They were on Star Search in like 1983, I think. And I don't think he answered me. But eventually started playing guitar for this guy named Bob Walkenhorst, who was in a band called the Rainmakers in the 80s that were big in Norway, of all places. So he went out there and got to like finally live that rock star life. We're playing a theater and really light show and really rocking out. So, you know, he definitely got to live his dream eventually. I don't know if it was in the facet that he had hoped, but yeah, it wasn't like a thing where we all sit around during the holidays and play guitar. As a matter of fact, if you weren't very good, they didn't let you play at all.
Oh, really?
There wasn't like the Make-A-Wish moment where they just let
Make-A-Wish.
It wasn't like, okay, let Chris play a little bit. It was like, wrong note, give me that fucking shit. And so, and now like they come over and hang out, and like me and my cousins will start playing a little bit, and our uncle.
But you're really passionate about it. Josh Adam Myers told me a story about you, and he and I quote you all the time. You don't even know this. This is so great. It's a quote that we throw back and forth, and it's a Chris Porter quote. And I wasn't even there. He told me it was back when Angelo was still here, and you guys used to jam after the comedy show, and you guys are all sitting around, and you take it so seriously, or maybe it was at the Comedy Store one night, because I think you guys did there too, and everyone's farting around trying to figure out what to play and everything, and he said you just spoke up and said, you're wasting time, and then you went right into Soul Shine, which I fucking love Soul Shine. I love it. He and I now back and forth riff on, I tell him if we're doing it, I'm like, you're wasting time. I was like, I love that fucking
Yeah, story. Man, I just love the music. I was like, what? Let's just play something. Music's a great, like everything I am as a stand-up comedian is in my failure to be a rock star, I feel like.
And did music help you through your depression? Do you turn to music at all?
I play guitar every morning I wake up.
Every day?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. When I'm home, I don't take it with me, but.
And what do you play? Your own stuff?
No, I wrote a couple of songs last year trying to get over somebody, and that was the first time I had written anything. I felt the need to. And I wrote a couple, and that led to me writing like 5 or 6 songs that are okay, I guess. But no, mainly it's just songs that I like. I'm always trying to learn a new song and maybe a new chord just to make myself better.
Have you ever released any of your music?
I put stuff on Instagram, but to be honest with you, the stuff I put on and the stuff I've recorded, it's like 10% because it's like, I'm always like, oh, this sounds good. And as soon as I start recording, I'll watch it back. And then that's when the inner bitch comes in and you're just like,
I'm with you.
You're like, no, we're not showing that. And as a matter of fact, even the stuff that I put up, like I can't, I have to just put it up and like pretend it's not even there.
It's a shit.
Yeah.
Flush it.
Yeah. I did fuck up that one note. Yeah. Just let it go.
What, do you ever get inspired for comedy from your music? From your music.
Like the music that I write?
Yeah. Like I, for me, like I'll explain what I mean better here. Like when I hear music, I, in my mind, I will create funny scenes.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll put that song I'm hearing right now to some sort of funny scene that I think I could shoot, or a promo or a moment in a movie or a show that I could use somehow. That's, and I love the lyrics. I'm big, big, big on lyrics, but the feel of the music and what I do with it visually is, I don't know if you ever do that.
The way, what music does for me is it just helps in the writing process, especially because like comedy, I feel, especially my comedy, you can only draw from really like three or four emotions, anger, confusion. You know, there's not a lot of happy jokes, you know, not a lot of jokes are, oh, it's such a great day today. And then like sometimes, you know, especially like I've been trying to get over somebody, you know, you write jokes that you think are jokes and then you go back and it's a fucking journal entry is all it is. Like you just read, you're like, fuck, none of this is funny. You were just laughing because it hurt a little bit. It's like stubbing your toe or something. And so if I have trouble getting through it, or if it's an emotion that I'm trying to deal with that isn't anger or confusion, then I'll start to write music, which allows me to kind of get through that, to get on to writing. And so in that facet, it helps. But yeah, and I do think of my bits more like songs. In the fact
that's interesting. Like usually, when you put a special together, an album together, do you think like that?
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, this, you know, everything's got to kind of move and flow into each other. And it's like, so.
I mean, I do that also, but mostly, I mean, I like an A to Z flow, and I like a build and a start and an end and an arc and all that. But having, you know, putting it in a certain place for me naturally makes me just flow right into that thing next without having to be like, what am I talking about next?
Yeah.
I'm going from my dad shit to this, you know, I try to put it together like that too.
In some ways, it's also like, I don't even think about the bit itself as like, cause most of the bits that I do, especially lately, like it's about who they're about. And so I just remember, oh, this is, that's so-and-so's bit. And this is, and then it's, for that. And I also feel like if I'm working from that angle, then it allows me to get back into the emotions that got me there in the first place, so that the joke has a little more authenticity because I'm genuinely thinking the same thing I thought when I wrote it.
Right.
Yeah.
Dude, this has been a great episode, man. Thank you for coming on and being so open and honest about all that
stuff. Oh, thanks for having me. It was kind of, you know, it's like I said, I hadn't said a lot of this shit out loud. So
I appreciate you doing that. I know that wasn't easy.
Yeah. So it's, so thank you.
Yeah, thank you, man. So here's a question I ask all my first-time guests. Now, after everything we've talked about, knowing everything we know about you now, what advice would you give to your 16-year-old self?
Try to fuck those chicks. I'm dead serious.
Fuck bitches, get money.
Pretty much, because like you look back at high school and you're like four of those chicks totally would have fucked me if I would have shown any effort whatsoever. But
what I love about that. You got hit by a golf ball a year later. And it didn't, hey, stand on the right side of your mom.
Or no. Dude, if I'm talking to the kid that's going golfing, I'm like, lean left. Try to get that, you know. Because I get... That golf ball is the best thing that ever happened to me. Not getting laid during high school. Could you imagine? I mean, I can't.
I was lucky. I got laid in high school. I lost my virginity at 15.
God bless you.
Yeah, I got lucky. God bless her.
Right?
I can't even imagine.
Because you know that shit wasn't good.
I mean, acne, the whole, everything. None of it was good. Like, no. God bless you, young lady. Thank you. For real, thank you. Thank you, Sarah.
Dude, my first was named Sarah. Up top.
Bro, put it up top. Please, plug, promote anything you'd like.
Go to chrisportercomedy.com and fill in the blanks.
There it is. All right. As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.